It is 12:30 on Thursday, and time to go ahead with Bureaucracy Now. I'm Taylor Clark. I'm a co-host, and I am joined driving in his car to T-Rex by Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow. Hello, John. Oh, we're not. Why am I not hearing you? Are you unmuted? Is this my problem?
How about on our end?
There we go. No, it's my problem.
Hey.
Yeah.
How are you, Taylor?
I have the telephone turned up, not the computer. I'm good, John. were you checking out? That's why. Did you hear the T-Rex?
I did. I really appreciate it. And I apologize for any cellular dead spots as I try to get to a meeting of the North Olympic Legislative Alliance. And I'm only a couple minutes out, and then my car will stop, and I can look at you. But I appreciate the flexibility to you and your listeners.
No, actually, I like the fact that the technology allows you to join from your car when you think about it. That's sort of space age, you know?
Yeah, that's about as space age as I get. But I guess the other luckily we have a guest like usual.
Right.
And I can tether to that guest because if I should suddenly go into a dead spot here, Emma Bolin is now co-hosting the meeting and perhaps co-hosting the show. I thought today would be, you know, day four for our new planning and community development director. What better time than now to introduce Emma to the community?
Well,
so welcome, Emma.
Emma, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and I want to take an opportunity on behalf of KPTZ and any members of the community that I represent to say welcome to Port Townsend. Are you new to Port Townsend?
Yes and no. So I like to think of myself as like a leapfrog. I've been going back and forth between working within the city of Port Angeles, and I also was a planner with Jefferson County DCD for a while. So,
so you're really familiar with the area. Good. Good.
Pretty familiar, but I still, when I drive around Port Townsend, I'm doing it by feel. I still, you know, I know landmarks, but I may not necessarily know street names.
Well, yeah, so I've only been here 10 years and I'm still learning the street names. And as my favorite city council person often says, she goes, I've only been here 35 years and I'm still learning the street names. So don't worry, it doesn't get any better.
Great.
We're supposed to know street names, Taylor. That's kind of news to me.
No. Well, we'll work on that. We'll send you a cheat sheet.
Thank you.
They're all named after presidents, but yeah. So on your fourth day here, Emma, you're being thrown into to John's world of the importance of community communication. And I want to thank you for being brave and stepping up and joining us here. It feels like you're just in a Zoom session with me, but thousands of people, I'm sure, are listening to you now.
Wow. Way to make me feel comfortable. Thanks, Taylor. But I'm so happy to be here, and I'm not afraid.
Okay, good. John, there is some news out today, and that I got sent about from Derek Kilmer's office. Have you heard about this yet? No, he's in a dead spot.
He is in a dead spot.
Well, we'll wait for John to get back because I don't want to steal his fire if he knows all about it.
So sorry. You cut out. I'm about to arrive to my destination, so things should be more stable. Can you just repeat that one more time?
Well, our station manager forwarded me a message that she received as a mailing from Derek Kilmer about federal funding for the lift station in Evans. See, I gave it all away.
No, there you go. I was hoping you'd do that because you're co-host, and you know, perfect segue into this conversation with Emma.
Right.
Yesterday, we've been coordinating. Actually, when I was on vacation, and while Mayor Faber was on vacation, we were able to coordinate with Derek Kilmer's office and at least get some material ready for a press release they put out just yesterday.
Right.
And that press release states what I know now, you know, I've known for a little while, that our federal congressional spending request, or some say earmark, mm-hmm. For a lift station at Evans Vista to the tune of $2.5 million. As a request, we went through the process. There was a community panel process, and it scored very highly. And it's a very, you know, I could speak at length about its need. But, you know, our region also found it to be compelling. And so Congressman Kilmer included it in his list of earmarks. And the press release yesterday basically stated that he's been driving this and leading it through the House Appropriations Committee. Mm-hmm. And that was successfully stewarded yesterday. And now it goes to the full House for a vote. And so I'm not, you know, celebrating yet. But what it means should this be voted by the full House, which it's expected to be, we will be a recipient of that $2.5 million, which really is spent on infrastructure for Evans Vista, getting it development ready. So it's a half celebration. It's a great step forward, but we're not quite there yet.
Right. It's a prerequisite before we can really do a lot down at Evans Vista. But once we start doing things, that's when Emma's department steps in and really gets busy doing the planning on what that's going to look like.
Yeah. And luckily, that's something that, you know, it is day four, but it's something Emma and I have talked about for quite a long time, even before she arrived officially. That's something that she and her team will be working through as part of a process, both community process and sort of a technical process with Public Works. There's no reason to wait. That's a project that's going to continue in some form, regardless of the federal award. Mm-hmm. So she'll be intimately involved in that, you know, has been on since day one.
Emma, do you want to bring us up to speed a little bit on what the project is? Is that?
Yeah. Well, I certainly can. You know, and again, day four. So probably the best way for me to frame it is, I remember being on a bus tour back in 2017 with the consultant that was writing a sub-area plan for a live-work district. And so exciting being a Jefferson County planner, because that is in the neighborhood of Jefferson County, DCD, and wanting to see more, you know, housing for my colleagues, and wanting to see more of mixed use, you know, opportunities, more retail in that Castle Hill area. And I started getting really excited about it. So it's going to be, and for, you know, please, John, correct me if I'm wrong, because it is day four, but I believe it's going to be a mixed income neighborhood of live work units. It's going to include affordable housing and hopefully provide what I think is really an acute need, which is for workforce housing.
So
Emma nailed it. There's nothing I need to add there at the big picture. You could read about it because it's gone through some degree of council scrutiny when we decided to purchase the land. There's a long story about it. But starting with the sub-area plan is quite a brilliant answer because, you know, knowing that even in advance of a role, that zoning set up this project's success and the reason why we chose that piece of land.
Now, is that the same sub-area plan that spawned the Rainier corridor there too, or is this the same one? Okay, and I know that was about mixed use and retail on the ground floor with housing above. Emma, can you talk a little bit about how that kind of environment is, how we'd like it to be, how we would like it to be built out? I mean, I'm having a hard time picturing it.
Well, I think that's probably fair because it's not just my decision. So it's a community engagement exercise to see, you know, what the community wants it to look like. I think we can probably all say that, you know, we all want, you know, a vibrant, you know, more pedestrian-oriented, multimodal transportation community that's connected to all of the, you know, commercial centers within the city. So we could probably aspire to that and having, you know, some open space and trees and things like that. But what it actually looks like in terms of housing types, you know, quantities and just, you know, design, we'd love to hear from the community once we get further down the process.
So will there be a community engagement portion of this too, I take it?
Oh yeah. We will certainly be wanting some of that creativity from city residents. So please, once that comes,
creativity within constraints, and hence the federal ask. One of the constraints was that Force Main right there would only allow a certain number of units, and with some federal funding for a lift station, it really gets us over a hurdle to think more broadly about, you know, the number of units we can accommodate there, And really, our job is to make this development ready. And so there's a lot of infrastructure investment there. So, you know, each step forward gets us a little bit bigger opportunity to kind of dream bigger. But the constraints are a real thing, especially in a community like Port Townsend. And, you know, with housing as it is and with our infrastructure as it is. So I'm tempted to say this, it will be objectively awesome. But there are a lot of caveats there about what's possible given some of the constraints. So we need the community to participate. We've been really grateful that a number of housing providers have already been looped in. We've been, you know, looking left and right and talking at some length with almost every single provider and organization in the region to make sure that we sense check whether they're supportive, if there are red flags that, you know, we can identify before we purchase the property. And I think I could speak for almost all of them or all of them to say that they're enthusiastic about the project.
I missed something you said there about purchasing the property. Which property is the city purchasing property there, or is, because this is,
sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this was a property that was purchased last year, at the very end of last year in December, after quite a long due diligence process, including cultural resource inventory and, you know, just a number of things we had to do to make sure it was the right purchase and that the zoning was correct. And, you know, we have a long ways to go still, but we needed to make sure the council had confidence this was a good move before we actually put down money for the purchase. Now, it was, you know, the purchase was over $1 million, but also, if we can remember listeners, that this was part of a state allocation that we had asked for as part of our legislative agenda. So we used that state money to purchase the property. We're ideally using some federal funding, if it does come through, to do a good bulk of the infrastructure. We're trying to keep the residents and the city's costs as low as we can without, of course, we need to do a public process. That's going to be on us. But, you know, at this point, we haven't thrown down any significant funds for a project that's definitely needed. We're trying to be clever about state and federal funding.
I don't quite know how to form the question, but is this the sort of, will the city be then selling off portions of, you know, of lots or something for to different, well, I don't know who the question is for, but this is a public, I'll just spit it out. I know there's concern on the part of citizens about, you know, the city, you know, getting involved in building housing. And I don't think that's what you're talking about here. Should we let, we're pointing at Emma.
No, certainly not. And I would imagine, you know, we're talking about, you know, what the, you know, designs are going to look like, but doesn't necessarily mean that the city is going to be the one who's going to be building or managing any of those properties. But, you know, certainly a little bit more, and again, day four on the job and still learning about the sub area plan. But there's a lot of, you know, a lot of opportunities that could, you know, even be melded with other projects that my department may take on for affordable housing in the future.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, you know, Taylor, I think, you know, Emma and I did actually really no prep for, I'll unveil the curtain here. No prep for this conversation.
Right.
Unscripted. But to say that, and also that Emma's really nailed it. I mean, this is partly why we needed her as our planning and community development director, is that she has a working understanding of the context, the need, the actual zoning, how to get a project like this over line, and the city's role, which is, like she said, we don't swing the hammer and actually build the thing.
Right.
We line up the opportunity, get it ready for development through infrastructure, which is our focus, and a community process. And that's stewarded by Emma and her team as well.
I sort of get the feeling maybe what we're doing here is you're setting up the bowling pins and somebody then gets to, you know, bowl and strike and make a strike.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's more
the gutters out, Taylor.
Yeah, or maybe it's more like curling. You're running down in front of it with a broom, you know. Sweeping.
I don't quite understand that game. So. Every Olympics.
Yeah.
Taylor, are you a curler, just as an aside? Is that something I don't know about you?
I worked for a Canadian company, John, for 10 years, and you don't work for a Canadian company without learning a little bit about both curling and hockey. Those are important nice. Cultural touchstones if you want to spend time in Ontario. But I've always had a great love of the process of curling because of the way they run in front of it with the brooms, trying to make it, you know, the curler takes his best shot or her best shot, mm-hmm. and then everybody works together to try and get the stone to go where it's supposed to go. So it does seem what we're trying to do.
I like your analogy. I think the stone is dynamic, and so to your original question, is it a stone like a curling stone, is it a rock, is it a piece of cake, or we don't know yet exactly what that stone is, because we need to be designing that as we're rubbing in front of it to make sure it lands in the right place. And that, you know, scratching the surface of the ice or whatever, you can imagine, you know, sewer lines and infrastructure all being part of how to make that stone or piece of cake or, you know, puppy or rainbow, whatever it might be, land in the right place.
Yeah, good. Okay, I think we have a picture, and both of you, I'm sorry to put you on the spot on Evans Vista, but we had this breaking news, and it's exciting. If it does pan out, this is something that the lift station is a requirement, something we really need to do. It's a big piece of infrastructure money that we got to find a way to fund. So if we've indeed gotten it funded, I just fingers crossed. Cautiously optimistic.
Thank you. And like Emma says, a real call to the community. We want people to be part of a visioning process for what PT scale, density done well in the right place for all different levels of affordability really means for our community as an asset. I mean, people listening might be able to afford to live there. People who work for the city team and Emma's team might have the opportunity for workforce housing to live there. I mean, this is something that is of high need and value to our community. And ideally, we have 10,000 people participating and driving it forward.
Well, here's the thing about that area that strikes me is that if you're only familiar with it from driving down through the roundabouts, you know, and coming into town, you're missing a key aspect of the area. And to get a feel for that, I would encourage folks to go up and have a beer at Discovery Brewing? Is that the place? But there's a number of sort of businesses, and there's a quiet area. There's a little industrial area back there, but it's quiet and it's pleasant and it's livable. So I think there's a lot of livability up there that maybe doesn't meet the eye of some residents who are maybe more oriented towards downtown and uptown.
Right. And let's not forget, too, there's a number of both. There's an affordable apartment project going forward right north of that roundabout, as well as a market rate or just slightly sub-market rate project going up there, the Moderna Ridge project, and a large piece of infrastructure to the tune of over $5 million as a rebuild of Discovery Road, as well as a bike and pedestrian set of infrastructure going on there very shortly. I mean, again, state and federal funding got that over the line. That's all connecting up at exactly this time.
Okay. If you are just joining us, we are talking with Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow, and our John and my guest today is Emma Bolin, who is the brand new Planning and Community Development Director. And you are listening to Bureaucracy Now on kptz.org. And we have a few more minutes, and I just remind you that people can mail in to dj@kptz.org. I am keeping an eye on it. If you have any questions, Emma, what do you see sort of as the key areas within your role that you want to focus on? I guess, you know, everybody has a kind of a short list of things they want to look at. And again, I realize you, it's hard to do, but maybe ask you this way rather than about this job, but you know, what about, planning and community development, what are the areas that you think are important to maybe change the way we do things, or that sort of question?
Well, I'll say the first thing is, you know, just making sure that we create capacity for ourselves as a planning department, so that we can do the hard work of, you know, the zoning code updates, the comprehensive plan periodic update, the long range planning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, also have some time to really take, you know, a closer look at our housing. We've joined House America in the city of Port Townsend, but, you know, what incentives, grant opportunities are available to try and further that? Are there any economic development strategies that we can use? How can we get infill housing? And at the same time, how can we be, how can we work with the free market? And how can we, streamline the permitting process so that the free market can do what it does best and be a collaborator? Mm-hmm. And in terms of, you know, our outreach, how can we get more people engaged in our community and what's going on? I would just say that as a last piece of that, getting more people engaged, having, you know, more education about what's going on in our city, what's going on the Olympic Peninsula regionally, and what makes Port Townsend so wonderful. You know, every time I step out and get to, you know, enjoy lunch in this community, I appreciate the planning profession and what people have done, you know, my predecessors and the success that they've had, that this is an attractive community. That, you know, it would be with some of the unfortunate things going on in the world right now, would certainly be a wonderful, you know, place for many to thrive.
And recently rated the best small town in Washington State by, I forget what survey, but
I wish they'd stop doing that. Just wish they'd stop.
So, I mean, Taylor, can I add on to what Emma's saying?
Please do.
Can you imagine after this is at day four, day eight? I mean, half of that stuff will be, you know, halfway to completion. You know, just kidding. I mean, it's going to take some time, but, you know, Emma's lending with significant technical and ability as well as really ambition to get things done. I also think, you know, people want to hear more. Emma and I will be down under the tent at San Juan and 21st or so.
Tell me
right
about
where that large tent, the community build is hosting an event with multiple housing providers. I wrote about it in the city newsletter this month, right across from the golf course, right there in San Juan. And it's kind of between 21st and 22nd. And it's really an open conversation with the community.
Is this
trying to match people? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Question. Is this where the tiny houses were built? Is that the location?
Yes, exactly.
That's easier
That's a far better way of explaining it. Yeah. So just look for a big white tent that has a nice permit, of course.
And when is this?
And that's tonight at 4, or this afternoon at from 4 to 6. And it's the first time this has been done. It's quite an organic, very much like the community build was. And I think just like the community build was, likely very successful at turning people out who want to be linked to an organization, whether it be the city or the county as a municipal organization, or a Bayside, a community build, a Habitat, you know, an OLECAP, and try to make a difference. And so the aim really is to pair people and their skills and their interest with an organization that can use that skills and interest, and to start a grassroots conversation, not led by the city, but one we participate in. And it might evolve over the summer. We might see more of these events over the course of this summer. First one's tonight. Anybody can come from 4 to 6 this evening.
Wow, and you're both going to be there as participants. That's good news. So let's just recap that. 4 to 6, San Juan and 21st, under the big white tent, discussion with organizations about housing.
Yes, and unlike I tend to do here, Taylor, as you know, instead of my 20-minute answer to something, each organization has 2 minutes, and I'm going to split our 2 minutes between Emma and I, so you will get literally an elevator pitch from all organizations very fast.
Sounds like an interesting... I hope we had that on our calendar. All right. Emma, do you have any last words you want to kick in about planning and what you'd like people to know about you or anything like that?
Oh, man. I mean, I've talked so much.
No, you haven't.
Anything random you want to know about me? Any questions on the table?
Have you found a place to live in town yet?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that. Maybe this is a preview of what I'll talk about in my 1 minute is that, you know, I like to ask people, like, where do you live? So I'm asking the same question. And I already live here. I live in Swim. I love Port Townsend. I would love to live in Port Townsend. And I know that that's kind of the question for everybody is, you want to come here, where are you going to live? I love taking public transportation, and Squim can sometimes be a little bedroom community for Port Townsend as well. So
is there public,
thanks for that question.
Is there public transportation from Squim?
Yeah, there is.
Excellent news.
Yeah.
I commute from Whidbey Island, so, and I'm not alone, apparently.
I do that sometimes, too. I have family over in Whidbey Island.
Oh, there you go. Okay. John, anything you want to add?
No, it's always a pleasure, Taylor. Emma will be back in this show, and she's now in our community, and you can see her tonight.
I hope so. I'm going to just go out as we sometimes do. We are going to listen to the music of Sam Coo West today. He is a, to finish off Bureaucracy Now, he is a, he plays lap steel, which was the predecessor to slack key guitar. He's Hawaiian, and he's sort of the Robert Johnson of Hawaiian guitar. He recorded. There are 27 extant recordings recorded in 1927 and 28, and he died in Paris in 1930. And nobody really knows much about him, but it's great music. So let's go ahead and hear the Honolulu Blues from the Hawaiian Hula Blues, 1927, Sam Coo West. And thank you, John and Emma, for joining us.
Thanks, Taylor.
Thanks for having us.